This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, my friend. I was just reflecting on the first time that you and I shared a conversation, and I just remember how special it was to be able to converse with you screen to screen for the first time and to learn more about your story and specifically your philosophies on life. I remember I was pretty moved and touched, and it was an impactful episode for me, undoubtedly. So I'm excited to catch up, and I guess first question off the bat, how's everything going with you, man?
Super good, man. Thank you so much for having me here again. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and you're such a nice dude. It always feels so good talking with you, and like always, the last time the episode was really good.
Yeah, well, thank you, Arya. And I guess the last time we spoke, it was December of last year. So maybe just let us know what are some of the big changes that you've experienced since then. It's almost been, 10 months.
So many things changed for me. I met so many people, made so many new friends, which I'm always grateful for. And something that I'm really proud of is that I could finally release my first album, my debut album, and with a great label like Sleep Tales. So it's really good. And every day I just feel so grateful for everything that's been happening with me. And I would say that the most amount of growth I have made in my whole journey was after collaborating with so many people and with meeting so many people. It just boosts the growth so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm such a strong proponent of collaboration, and in any success that I've experienced thus far has happened through that collaboration process and the ability to meet new people, be inspired by new people, and to help to have them help you grow, and vice versa. And I'm assuming a lot of that's happened through Lowfinity as well.
Yes, even with Lowfinity, I can never be more grateful for Lowfinity, because that's where I honestly found some real friends, those who have stuck with me for so long and are there with me even now. And I even got a great, great opportunity to work with Sleep Tales, with the team. So I am a community consultant for them, for the Discord community. It's wow. Such a great opportunity and such a great experience to work for them and to see those people work. I learn so much, even about music and about the business that goes in, the music business and everything that's happening with the industry. And it has taught me so much.
Wow. I did not know. So you're working with Sleep Tales on their Discord?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the community consultant for them. Yeah.
Congrats, it's really man.
And thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. And with the love I have for the community and for people, and how much I love helping people and talking to people, something like this, like being the community consultant for this community, it's such a big thing for me. And throughout my journey since beginning, Sleep Tales and Colors in the Dark, Daniel, he has helped me so much and taught me so much with his all the knowledge that he has, and he was Before doing lo-fi, he was into rock music and his own band. He's a vocalist as well. He used to sing. So all his experience and everything, being friends with him, it has taught me so much since the beginning. And then afterwards, working with them closely in the team and in Discord, it has taught me so much more about the community itself. And about, I could say that I have come so much more down to earth now. And I have learned so much about communicating with people. I used to be really nervous before, a year back, to, you know, come out of my shell and talk to people and like open myself up. But after talking with so many people and helping so many people, it has helped me a lot to even overcome that. So yeah, I can't thank them all enough.
Wow. Well, what fantastic attributes to be able to develop, especially being surrounded by people that want to encourage that development. What are some of the main responsibilities that you have as community consultant?
All right. So the main thing that I do is I be in the community a lot. If new people join, I make sure that they are good. And if somebody has any questions or anything regarding the community or the label or anything, they can always come to me, talk to me and ask me anything. And I make sure to help them the most. And if something is happening in the community, someone needs some help to maybe direct them in the right way in the community itself, I make sure to handle those things and help them. And overall, wow. Discord, to just manage the Discord. But we even have Peak Twilight with us. And Chris is even the community consultant alongside me. So it's really good.
Wow. Well, once again, congratulations, Arya. And I couldn't think of a better person, a friendlier person to be in that role, man. I need to jump in that Discord and become a part of it. I know I remember after our podcast, you and Nico had to hop on and show me how to use Discord.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
I don't know how
yeah.
to use this. And you guys helped me figure that out. So, it's something that I want to continue to become better at navigating. Arya, you mentioned some of these things in regards to what you've learned on the business side of things. What are some of the most enlightening things that you've learned in regards to the business side of music?
All right. So I'll put it across this way that before, when I was I wouldn't say that this is completely the business side of it, but more on how to be in the industry, how you can like go ahead. So it's not only just making music and releasing music, but how to promote your music and how to like go about everything. So I would say that earlier, when I was new and when I was learning more about the lo-fi genre, about the industry and about how everything works, so the notion I had in my mind was that if I make music, I release that, and I would spam so many people in the chat room with just the links and that please listen to my music. But I was not aware of that more than them just listening to my music, what I need is good friends, people I can learn from, people I can share experience with, and all those things. And being in this community and with people who are so much, who want to do so much for the community itself, and rather than all the other things, they are so grounded and always want to do work for the community, because community and all the people are the reason that we are here and what we have been doing and everything. So the most one thing I learned was to be really genuine and to least expect about what I want, but more about how can I help others and how can I give back. And so this is how I work, is that if you share value, if you provide value to people, then it will always come back to you in any way, and in all the ways it will always come back to you. So my most important thing that I learned was to be genuine, to always give back, no matter what I have, what I don't have, my goals, where I want to reach. But something that I always have to do is give back to people, help them, because at some point, even I was at a level where I wanted help from people. And I would appreciate so much and feel so good if people would help me. So all those things I keep in my mind to be genuine, to make so many friends and be genuine with them. Collaborate a lot. I would say that collaboration is it's so underrated in a way, because I feel that even so, I would always choose collaborating with people over making solo tracks, because it's just it shares so much knowledge and so many new things, new experiences.
Yeah, well, and I, Arya, what you said about just being genuine and being authentic is, and that's something that I've learned through my time in the music industry is trying to let down any marketing facade or image that I'm trying to put out and just try to continuously be more true to myself and give freely what I learn, whether it be knowledge or specific skills or talents or people in my network. One of my favorite things to do is connect other talented people. If I meet somebody new and I know they have a similar interest or a similar skill as this person over here, I'm always like, hey, do you know this person? And if they say no, it's like, well, let me introduce you, because I have a feeling that you all could create something magical. And I think there, when you look at it from that community perspective, where the better all of us do, the better our entire community does. And I can't commend you enough for continuously spreading that. And I can even tell that through the messages, like your check-ins. I love when I get a message from you just checking in and seeing if I'm doing good. And it's like, well, thanks for asking, man. Like that means a lot.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I think the more we can continue as a community, I'm speaking as everybody within this community, if we can continue to help each other grow and learn, I think it's going to be long-term success for all of us. And I guess touching on that a little bit, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen from the industry in the past year, and where do you think it's going?
Well, so to be very honest, I wouldn't be the best person to ask this question, but I would still say that it has come really far from where it was, and it has changed so much. Because so 2 years back, when I used to listen to lo-fi music, or maybe you could say even sometime more earlier in time, there were not a lot of new sounds that I hear today. So many new things that I listen to in people's songs, and new type of so I don't know exactly how to put it across, but it has, so the sound has polished a lot more over time. Maybe it's a difference because some people really like the authentic lo-fi that it used to be years back. But now it's a lot more, you could say, a lot more not lo-fi, maybe, because lo-fi generally is so I don't know how to put this across, but dusty sound and a lot of VFX. Sorry, not VFX. I'm sorry, but I forgot the tape sound. But yeah, now it's not used a lot. But in some songs, it's still there. But now there are a lot more sounds and a lot more subgenres in lo-fi, like sleepy lo-fi, which I really love. I really love that. And all these dreamy sounds. So I feel that if we still work behind this and keep making new type of sounds, but still keep it under that same roof of lo-fi music, those instrumental beats, 2-3 minutes beats that could really, you know, so I feel that could really take it really far and could, after some time, make lo-fi genre where people personally know each artist. Because right now, it's still come a lot far. But with lo-fi music, a lot of people use lo-fi music as they wouldn't know the artist personally, that who is this person, but listen to songs in maybe playlists on YouTube and all these places where they could. And I believe that lo-fi is a really, really important sound. It, even though people don't know the artist really personally, they listen to their music, but the amount of help that lo-fi does for people, it helps so many people relax, it helps so many people sleep, it helps so many people study and do their normal day work. So I feel that over time, we keep all these artists, new artists coming up, so many people are making lo-fi, and so many people are discovering new sounds, making unique sounds, their own identity with their own sound, and keep creating new music. I feel if this keeps happening, then it will turn into, and lo-fi will never get old, because you'll have mm-hmm. you'll always have something new to listen to. You'll always discover new music, and so many new record labels are coming up now to help so many artists come up and show their sound and put it out in the world. So I feel it will make and bring lo-fi to another level. It's already on another level, but it will always keep pushing it to be the greatest genre.
Yeah, well, and Arya, I couldn't agree more, man. I think there's always going to be room for continuous expansion in uniqueness in subgenres. And so I remember when I first started creating electronic music back in, it was 2014, and I got so caught up in kind of genres and subgenres. And I remember even at one point, like, people were talking about how the dubstep bubble was going to burst, is what everybody said. And it hasn't. And I haven't heard it for a while, but I remember hearing that, I think the lo-fi bubble is going to burst, and I don't think it ever will. I think there's so many global listeners and so many new fans that are joining in it for the community of listeners every single year. Plus, with new artists bringing their own styles, people coming from the classical world, coming from the jazz world, coming from the electronic world, There's just so much room for creativity and expansion. And so I think you're totally right. It's just going to continue to evolve. And all of these subgenres are going to continue to grow as well. Somebody might like jazz hop the most. Somebody might like dreamy, sleepy lo-fi the most. Somebody might like lo-fi girl style the most. I think there's just so much room. And so for me, When I ever hear anybody talk about that fear of like the bubble bursting, I'm like, I don't think it's going to. Because when you look at all of these other genres, so for dubstep in particular, like under the umbrella of dubstep, you have rhythm, you have bro step, you have so many different subgenres. You have like funk dubstep, funk step. You have so many different glitch step. You have so many different subgenres that the music will continue to live on because the fans of those subgenres will continue to listen. And I certainly feel the same way about lo-fi. And it's an exciting ride to be a part of, and it's exciting to see so many new producers coming in. Because when I first started collaborating with other artists, it always seemed that, myself included, we had kind of stumbled into this community from other genres, whether it be rock or electronic music. But now I'm starting to notice that a lot of producers are coming specifically into this community as lo-fi producers. This is the first genre that they're creating, the first style of music that they're creating. And I think that's really exciting. And I think that those producers coming up right now are really going to help push the boundaries. So it's so exciting to be a part of it and to watch that growth. And it's also interesting, I'm just like you said, is fans are becoming more selective in the subgenre that they listen to. They're also going to become more selective in the artists that they listen to, and they're going to have their and they already do, but I think it's going to continue to grow in popularity in regards to listeners of lo-fi having the specific artists that they want to listen to and support. And especially with new technologies that are coming out, new platforms and new social media, it's going to be extremely interesting to see how that evolves. What an exciting time to be in this scene, Arya.
Definitely. And I really want to say that like you mentioned, that so many people and fans would really want to listen to specific artists. And like I said, that having that, so many artists right now are creating their own identity with the sound. So even if you don't read the name, the artist's name, and if you just listen to the songs, so many artists make their music in a way that listening to the sound, you can know who it is behind the track. And I like that so much, that it's like, I would like to mention Martin here, Dimension 32, his guitar style, and he has his own style even with his artworks. I was recently talking with him about this, with his artworks, with his guitar playing style. Even though I don't know what song is playing on, but if I listen to it, I'll instantly know that it's him. And this will help artists so much in a longer run, because it's their own style. And so many times when you listen to lo-fi music, it's not really even lo-fi. It's just music falling into this place and calling it home. But the emotions put into the music and the way it sounds and everything, it's just so homely. I would say that lo-fi music is home music, because it feels so homely. And I just can't express enough that how much love I have for lo-fi. And all the time I listen to lo-fi music, even when I'm driving, even when I'm working, I'm doing anything, or just anything. I just listen to lo-fi music so much, because it just makes me feel grounded. It makes me feel at home. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. I need more words to describe that feeling.
Yeah, well, and it's that peace of mind. Like, it's truly a medicinal style of music. And I think it's going to continue to be more integrated into yoga practices, meditation practices. I know meditation apps are already using it. I think there's from the health industry, I think there's likely going to be a lot of support. But then it's also interesting for like TikTok reels and Instagram reels and the amount of lo-fi that's being used for social media clips. So it's exciting to see where it's going to go. And it's fun to speculate, but at the same time, sometimes it's for me personally, just sitting back and just creating the music and let the ride take us wherever it's going to go. So Arya, I want to dive into some of the things. So we talked about some of the things that you learned in music over the past year, but have there been any big shifts in your personal life or new kind of daily practices that you've taken on to continue to grow, not only as an artist, but just as a human?
Yes, definitely, definitely. So, like I said, that meeting so many people, and because I did not just keep it only focused to music, or these are my music friends, or these are friends I met through music or on internet, and I be with them just like every other person I meet, or like a person, just a human being. It has taught me so much about my personal life, about how grounded I should be in life, about how I should keep helping a lot of people. Like I said, that with helping so many people in the community, and with talking with so many people, it has brought that that feeling in my heart, that even when I'm here in my city, I'm out somewhere, and if somebody needs my help, I genuinely feel from within that I am here to do this. This is my purpose for the world, that I have to keep helping so many people. And even when I think about my career in future and things that I want to do except for music, the first thing that comes in my mind is to provide value. How can I help people? How can I do something good for someone? because when I do that, it seeing the other person happy, it just makes me feel so good, and that I am the reason that even they felt happiness for a small bit of time. It's the world for me, and I've learned so much about different cultures that I respect so many cultures even more than I used to. Learned so many things about life and how life works, and that we have to, in a way, let go of who we think we are to really become who we are.
Well, and I love that, man. And similar to you, I've definitely, since the last time we spoke, I've gone through a pretty intensive process of trying to figure out, like, what is my purpose? Because it's a big question to answer, but it's such an important question for all of us, is not only artists, but human beings. And so for somebody that's listening, that is wanting to figure out what their purpose is, what tactics or what tools do you have for trying to figure that out?
Well, so last time, since we talked a lot about spirituality and so many things, being one and so many things, so I feel diving deep into it, reading so many things about what other people have done, and it's just crazy that how much can you learn yourself from experiences that other people are having and things that other people have done in life. I've been listening to so many podcasts and so many things and read so much about it I feel that we can never really find our only purpose in life, because I feel that we are not here for only one thing. Every day, every week, every month, and every year, there's going to be so many new things coming in our life that will alter us in a way to do things differently, to maybe do something new. So I feel that we should maybe take each day at a time and be present a lot, and not be worried about the future, because we never know what's going to come, and about the past, because it's already done. And we can treat past as an experience that we have had and as a big lesson. Even if things went wrong in the past, it has still brought us here where we are today. So I feel that is a really important thing, to learn from our own experiences and from our own past, and to pass on that knowledge to others around us and to help as much as we can.
So I think, yeah, Arya, what a beautiful sentiment. And I think that's something that I've begun to notice over the past year, is just the interconnectedness, that oneness. And I love what you said as far as getting out of our own way to figure out who we actually are. And that can be such a difficult process, because the ego is necessary. Like, the ego pays the bills. Ego takes care of responsibilities, and so there is an important role for the ego. But being able to separate yourself from that, or at least for myself, separating myself from that, it can be challenging. But I know the days that I do it well, they're the best days that I have. And also focusing on just for today, I also love that. And that's something that I've been trying to work on as well, of how hard can I work today. And I guess before diving into that, in trying to figure out what my purpose is, asking that big question, like, what am I here for? And really trying to discover that. And similar to you in regards to helping people, I was going through this really reflective process. I was thinking of how hard I work towards music, how hard I work towards physical health and running and climbing mountains. There was a point in this past year where I sat down and I wrote it out, and I went through this process of asking myself, like, why do I do all of this? And I really tried to remove the ego from it and ask myself, why do I do it? And it was a few week long process of really trying to tease that out. But it's similar to you. I feel that's my purpose is to work hard and to show people what is possible. Of course, I love it. There's the selfish element that I do enjoy and I love working hard. And it's like, why do I love it? And I think when I'm at my absolute best self, to be able to show other people that it is possible. Like, if you want to climb that mountain, like, you can climb it. If you want to strive to accomplish your goals and your dreams, like, you can. If you want to run a marathon, like, you can. And so I think, and it's given me a new mindset when I go into those practices of the responsibility that I feel for myself to show people that it is possible. And it's given me a peace of mind, man, because for that 3 week reflective period, it was some true soul digging of like, why am I doing this? And to come out of that experience with the answer being love and to show other people that it's possible. It was relieving. It was relieving for me and also inspiring to continue to do my absolute best to show people what is possible. And I know that's going to be a lifelong journey of trying to demonstrate that the best I can. And so I guess for Arya, what kind of led you to asking yourself what your purpose is or developing that purpose? Like what sort of caused you to really sit down and say, what is my purpose?
So I would say that this journey for me, it was not like that I would sit and think that what is my purpose and I would think about it, but more of all those experiences that I went through and everything that happened, it shaped me into this. And now I can think about it this way. Maybe 3 years back when I was in school, I couldn't think about it this way. And a lot goes to the place that I came from, because before I started doing music, I felt that there was so, like, how confident I am right now and how I know that these are the things that I want to do, how I could set goals for myself. So 3 to 4 years back when I was in school, I couldn't do that. Whenever somebody used to ask me, what is your goal? What do you want to achieve? I had no answer for that. I did not know what I want to do. But after that, when I started music and really started listening to so many songs, so much music, and started working towards that. And at the same time, when I got some rewards for that, it really made me feel that, yeah, this is something that I can do. And if I can dream about it, if I can think of it, I can do that. So all these small things that happened over time, it made me want to dive deep into these things a lot more, and how everything works and how everything is, what life really is, and what are we here for. Because like you said, that it's really important, like money aspect, it's really important to do that if you want food to eat, if you want a home, if you want a roof over your head. These things, like the minimum necessities of life, food, water, a home, clothes to wear, and all these things, it's really important, and this comes from money. So you have to work behind it. So I drift off from what I was saying. Yeah, so the journey that happened, it really made me think about all these things. And apart from what I have to achieve in life, a good career and everything, achieving my own dreams, even small ones and the bigger ones, it made me go a lot deep, because the happiness that I felt after achieving the dream. So it could be the smallest thing could be a dream, and the biggest thing can be a dream. Having a dream, it doesn't have any boundaries, and nothing can decide what is small and what is big. So 2 years back, 3 years back, my dream was to release a song and to have my name on Spotify. So after I had it, after I achieved that, it made me feel so good that, damn, this is like, I can do this. I have this. Yep. So all these things really pushed me to focus more on what life really is and to know more about it and to know more how everything is. So I would say to go out of this world as a third person and to look on everything from above and from how everything is, and not just our daily things that I have to do this, I have to complete these many songs, I have to write a paper for exam, but to go come out and see, because and you realize so many things, because when we work towards one thing and have a set thing in life of completing our work, doing the job, doing things, spending time with your family and everything, you kind of drift off from other things that are more important, like nature, like so many different things. So when you come out, you feel that life is not just about this, but it's so much more bigger than this. And we as humans are such a small part of such a big thing that has been created. And it just makes me curious to know more about so many things. I would say, yeah.
Arya, what a great explanation, man. And that's whenever I feel like I'm getting caught up within my own mind, I realize that I am zoomed in on myself as close as I can get, and taking that moment to pause and to zoom out and say, oh, wait a second, I'm not the center of the universe here. There is so many other things at work that I simply don't understand and can't understand. And there's a magic in that. And being able to tap into that magic and that wonder for me has been pretty groundbreaking just on my perspective on life and the ability to slow down and to enjoy every second just a little bit further. Of course, not all the time. We're human beings and we fall out of that. Yeah. But when I can tap into that energy and pause and simply look at a tree and just be like, wow, I feel fortunate to be here. Or if I think about history and I think about all of the great human beings that have lived before us and they're all gone, and realizing that timeline is going to exist into the future. And I think for some people, that can be a daunting or scary thought or a scary feeling. And it's, I guess for me at my point in my journey, it's a relief. It provides peace of mind and it allows me to tap into whatever this magic is and to just realize like I don't understand it and I will never understand it. I'm not capable of understanding it. So I might as well enjoy it. So Arya, for somebody that's listening to this episode that maybe feels new in their spiritual journey, or if they're hearing us talk and they're like, man, how do I get to that point or have that perspective? Do you have any books or practices that you could recommend to help them get there?
So I would say I wanted to say is that I really wanted to suggest me some books, because I've never been a reader. But now, after I have seen so many people read and so many good books, so this brings me to your question. So I feel that in life, we are so much, we have so many boundaries about what life is, but we have to tell ourselves that whatever we know is not even 1% of what exists out in the world. Mm-hmm. So we have to always like be open to learn so much and to know who we are. Because I feel till the last day of our lives, we will never know who we truly are and what life truly is. Because it's something so big, and it's we never know things we never know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And there are so many things for us to know that it's crazy, and we'll never run out of things to know, and we'll never be fully 100% knowledgeable or that I know everything. We'll never get there. So I feel the best thing to do is to be open and to not have thoughts that this is my life and this is the only thing that I have to do and this is what I have to strive for every day, but to be open to so many new experiences. Because even the smallest experience can bring the biggest change in your life. And if we stop that from happening, it won't happen. We have to be open about everything that is going to happen and reflect on everything that happens. Because I feel that not everything is a coincidence. It's like the domino effect and the ripple effect that if I'm talking with you right now and it brings change into someone else's life, it's a ripple effect and it's happening. So I feel that going in and seeing how everything is connected and how everything falls into place on its own, all these little things can bring really big changes in ourselves and in our mind and all those things. And I was telling you that I really want you to suggest me some books because I want to get into reading now to know more, because I feel that if I haven't read a single book so far about life or about any topic, and if I know so many things and if I'm capable of getting so much knowledge, then how far can I go if I read so many books and learn from other people's experiences? And the reason they wrote that book was to share that knowledge with the world. Mm-hmm. So why not just grab it and take 100% advantage of it?
Yeah, well, man, I've read a decent amount growing up, and then I went to university and of course read books there. But I didn't start really diving back into reading books that I wanted to until March of 2020. And then I really flipped a switch in my growth mindset and trying to consume as much information as possible. And I think since March of 2020, I think I'm up to 36 or 37 new books. And the wealth of knowledge that I've learned from those books has been truly, truly incredible. And sometimes from a book, I only take away one point, but sometimes I take away a ton. And if I had to say what were some of the biggest? I mean, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield is one of my go-tos. But then I actually have The Artist Journey by Stephen Pressfield as well. This is a really fantastic book in regards to discussing the magic of the universe, especially from an artist perspective. Everything that we're talking about, he kind of dives into of tapping into the unknown and just trusting the unknown. And this has been an absolutely wonderful book. Also, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and this was suggested to me by Jin Tsai. I read that book has been, oh my goodness, incredible. And it's a book regarding the purpose of meditation, I would say, but it doesn't actually dive into meditation practices. And he even states that. He's like, there's so many different ways to practice meditation. This book is kind of about that purpose. And just like you were talking about the domino effect and the ripple effect, and I couldn't help but think about the ripple example that he utilizes in his book in regards to like your mind being a calm lake. And then if you have a negative thought, all of the thoughts, or negative or positive, all of those thoughts are just ripples that you can control, and you can end up turning this lake into a hurricane or a storm just based on your own internal thoughts, or you can just let it continue to be that calm lake. And so I think those are probably the most three impactful. I should do a post and just throw all of those books out there and tag all of the authors because they've shared so much. And I love having the opportunity to read, and I'm glad that I kind of stumbled back into reading, because it's one of my favorite parts of the day to be able to sit down and learn, man. And Aria, for you, I kind of want to talk about your daily practices. So of course you're practicing this mindfulness of being in the moment. But is there a way that you structure your day to ensure that you're helping as many people as possible while still being present, while still accomplishing your work? Like how do you balance it all from that structural perspective?
All right. So I would say that not every day is a great day or a good day, because there are so many times that I have slow days where I don't want to work, where I don't want to talk with anybody or don't want to go out. But I feel that it all comes down to just pausing the moment and really going in your mind and to structure everything and to organize everything. And when it comes to planning my days, so I keep a basic routine set. When I wake up, I spend some time with myself. I would talk with my friends, which I love doing. And I would work a bit on music. I would work a bit on different things. I would spend my time learning about so many things. And I believe that to learn is not just to open a book and read or maybe go to school or maybe so it's not just focused on these things. But even if you just open YouTube and watch a video something that shares some good information, if you watch that and took out something, then you learned something. You really learned something. And it doesn't have to. So I would bring it down to that. If you like a lot of, if you have a degree, or if you are, if you have spent so many years behind learning something, and on the other side, if you don't, if somebody hasn't gone to maybe college or has spent so many years studying about things and doesn't have a degree, it doesn't mean that the other person who doesn't have a degree is not smart or has no knowledge, and the one with the degree is the smartest person in the world and stuff like that. I believe that it all comes down to how much you take out from the universe every day. How much you take out. Even if I did something small, maybe there's a animal on the road, and if I gave food or some water, clean water to that animal, I took out so much from that day, which I wouldn't have done otherwise if I was not doing that. Or maybe and all this. So this experience that I mentioned about giving clean water to someone or giving food to someone needy, some animal or some person who actually needs food, it counts so much that those blessings and that gratitude that person gave us and that experience. So it's not just limited to me giving food or water to someone. Yeah. It's a lot more bigger than that. So I feel and how I practice so many things is that I really be in the moment. And I don't tell myself that, oh, tomorrow I have to get up at 11 and I have to start working. There are so many days that I don't really work, which I don't suggest people to do, to not work. They should definitely have a routine and do things. Yeah. But I believe that this kind of works for myself, being in the moment. And because I feel that I can take out most when I'm really myself and when I really want to do something, and not just doing it for the sake of doing it or doing it because it's written in my schedule that I have to do this. Because that would be me just going in and so if I, to make it easier for everybody to understand, making music for an hour in a day set in my routine, and no matter what, I get up every day and start working on music. But if I really don't want to make music, I won't really make that growth. I would just have the knowledge that I have acquired over a point of over some time and use that to create music. But that music won't come from my heart, because I don't have that purpose of making music. But if I am walking, if I'm walking my dog, and at that time I listen to some song and I feel like, whoa, this thing is so good. It sounds so good. I want to do something like this. And then I go in the DAW and I... So with that purpose, I make music. I feel that the other option with making music with that purpose would really help me to make music that I like, I really like, and would teach me so many new things in that journey of making that particular song or something like that. So I feel, yeah, for me personally, I believe a lot in going with the flow and being in the moment and doing what I want in the moment. But not always like that, because we even have to do stuff. I can't sit for a year and not do anything because I'm not feeling like it. I'll have to keep working and do things. So, yeah. We have to balance it out in a way that we are comfortable with it and not force ourselves. Because, so see, if I look at someone who is a lot more acclaimed than me, who has spent so many more years than I have spent behind something, and if I compare myself with that person, that would be really unfair for me, because that person has put in a lot of more time and more effort than I have. So in that way, practically I am some years behind that person, so I can't compare myself. But if I compare myself from a day earlier, from a year earlier, and if I see a huge amount of growth, then that's a pat on my back.
Yeah. Well, and Arya, thank you so much for sharing that perspective, man. Because we have polar opposite approaches to to the way that we structure our days, which is beautiful. Because I know that I could do better at going with the flow, or at least scheduling time for myself to go with the flow, but also based on my experiences of running these tests in my schedule, it's that the discipline equals freedom. If I have it on my schedule and I have to get it done, it's just that brings me peace of mind for being able to just get it done. But I do fall in the trap of, let's say I accomplish everything on my list or I have some downtime, my default is to work on something else, is to continuously to keep moving, keep striving. Well, maybe, okay, I guess maybe I could get a second workout in. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but I think I have more room for growth and to being able to pause and to be comfortable in that moment of pause, because it's the uncomfortability that, that may push me towards creating music or going for a second run or whatever that may be. So I know I have more growth in learning and awareness to develop at that point. But I also know that I think for me it's having that discipline is what makes me happy. But it's also just it's us as human beings have. Obviously, so many more similarities than differences, but then there is also, but those differences in personality types or just the way that our brains work is also important. So I'll take that to note, but I will try to go with the flow and be easier on myself. And I think that's probably where the main issue is, of the self-condemnation that may occur from just going with the flow is something that I experience, which I'm sure is maybe laughable to some people but certainly a growth area. So I want to thank you for sharing that perspective, man, because I'm going to reflect on that and see how I can better implement that in my life. Arya, as we're getting near the end of this conversation, what are some of the goals that you have for the upcoming year, or what are some of the things that you want to continue to get better at? And I'm assuming helping more people is on that list, and continuing to be more present is on that list. But from your perspective, for the upcoming, let's just say several months before the rest of 2022, what are some of the focuses that you have within your life?
So I love the point that you mentioned, that even though we have so many similarities, but there are still differences. And I really think that I need to learn to make a schedule and to have a routine and to follow that discipline so that I'm not all about myself all the time. We are in a space that we work with a lot of people and not just alone. So if I'm working with a lot of people, then I need to be considerate enough to adjust myself in a way that it can complement everybody and it can happen as smoothly as possible. And I feel the best thing that can help us to do that is to be disciplined, is to have a routine and to work towards that and to do those things. So I feel that I personally have to learn a bit more and to implement that a lot, to have a routine and to be disciplined in that manner, so that I can maybe even accelerate my learning process and do more things that I usually do. But other than that, for the rest of the year, I really want to work a lot more on getting stuff done quickly in a way, because sometimes when I reflect on it after some time, I can notice that a lot of times I am really slow with my work being done and all. And now when I think of it, it all comes down to that if I am disciplined enough to do that and to make it happen, I know that I can make it happen, and it's not something out of the world that it's not possible. So I feel, so thank you so much for making me understand this. And other than that, I really want to make a lot more music, so much more music, and always keep making music, because every day I feel so grateful for being an artist. I feel that this is the best job. I could be biased because I am an artist, but I feel that this is the best thing because what life is, a circle and a cycle that's going to go on. We take birth and we grow up and we do so many things, and then the last day comes when we have to go away and say bye to everybody in this world. So I feel this cycle goes on and on, and as being artists, we are creating things that are going to be immortal and that are going to be forever here. So I feel that we have such a big responsibility, and at the same time, it's such a big blessing that we get to do this, and we get to make living out of this, and to support ourselves and our families and people around us, and do so many things as artists, that it's truly such a blessing for all of us. And to be able to do something that is going to be here even after I am gone, and that is going to bring differences in so many people's life even after I am gone. So I feel it's such a blessing. So I always want to work towards that, be a better version of myself every day, learn so many things, meet so many new people, learn so many things about people's lives and how they live, what is their mindset for so many things. Learn every day.
Arya, I think that's a beautiful note to end this conversation on, brother. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for another inspiring, insightful, and for me, calming conversation, man. I every time I chat with you, I learn something and I'm inspired to continuously improve. So thank you for all that you're doing for the lo-fi community. And thank you for the impact that you've had on me, man. Our conversation last December and this conversation, they've undoubtedly made me think about life and the world from a different perspective. So thank you so much, brother.
Man, I thank you so much for bringing me here and to give me a space where I can talk to so many people and where so many people can hear more about me, can know me a bit better. So it's such a great opportunity to be here and to talk with you and to listen to this from you and from so many people that they like talking to me, and all these small things, it means so much to me, and I take it with me every day, and it makes me feel so much better about myself, and yeah, man, I thank you for having me here. It's always a pleasure, and you know that I'm always up for a chat with you and with everybody anytime they want. I love doing that.
It's my absolute pleasure, Arya. And we'll have you back on again, man. For everybody tuning in, make sure to follow Arya. Make sure to connect with Arya. Send him a message because he's going to make your life a little bit better. And with that, we can leave it there. Much love, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And thank you so much, Cody, for having me here. I'm going to send you so many thank you messages right now after we go off because, man, you are such a kind person and the world needs that. The world needs so many kind people like you. So thank you for being here, man.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to do my best to keep being the best version of myself and hopefully that can help carry us all forward. But all right. Peace out, everybody.
Bye-bye.